17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, July 25th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Thousands of workers continue losing jobs in Zimbabwe following a Supreme Court ruling allowing employers to fire them.
We find that the employers are taking advantage of the judgment and many workers are losing their jobs. There's something that we need to do to rectify the situation.
Renowned Zimbabwean writer Isaac Mpofu says life is tough for writers in the country due to the current harsh economic environment.
Of late, the market is not very good at all. That is talking in financial terms.
And the Premier Soccer League says fans should desist from violence. Thousands of workers continue losing jobs in Zimbabwe following a Supreme Court ruling allowing employers to fire them. Over 4,000 workers have lost their jobs since the court made the ruling a week ago, which only compels employers to give a worker a three-month notice to terminate their contracts. Trade unionist Pesim Kicho says the situation is getting out of hand in cities like Bulawayo, Gweru and Harare.
In Bulawayo, it's worse, as you are aware, that the Bulawayo has got more unemployment than another part of the country because of the industrialization that occurred in this part of the country. We find that the employers are taking advantage of the judgment and many workers are losing their jobs. For your information, yesterday we had a meeting with the workers from CN, who were dismissed last Saturday. They were dismissed on a weekend when they were enjoying with their families. They received the dismissal letters, which really was a terrible experience. And for that matter, we find that these workers have not been paid for the past 2 years, and they're told to go home and wait until the three-month notice is over, that when they are going to start receiving their three-month notice pay. So it's really a sad story.
Now, looking at what is going on, Mr. Mkicho, do you think that, as trade unionists, there's something that we can do maybe to rectify the situation?
There's something that we have got to do, that we need to do to rectify the situation. As you are aware, that the trade unionism is about putting pressure and influencing policy making of laws that govern us. Workers should unite under the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Union and the fight against this ruling that is putting workers at a situation where there's no more job security at all.
That was trade unionist Pesim Kicho speaking with Studio 7. Renowned Zimbabwean writer Isaac Mpofu says life is tough for writers in the country due to the current harsh economic environment. Mpofu, who has written 7 books, some of them top Ndebele novels used in local schools, says it is difficult for Zimbabwean writers to make a decent living from their works. He speaks to Studio 7 about this and related issues ahead of the country's international book fair starting on Monday.
The book fair is valuable in many respects. First of all, it gives those who are attending a chance to see some of the books that you write when you are an author. They see your books on display, and some of them, if you are available around, do ask questions regarding the contents of the book, and you get to know whether what you are writing is appreciated or not, and you get a perspective that what the readers are looking for is something like this, and so on and so on. And secondly, as a writer, you get to see the works that other writers have written, and you get inspired, even just getting into contact with other authors who are present at the fair. It gives an inspiration, it gives an atmosphere of writing and so on.
Now, looking at some of the books that you actually wrote, there is Wang Tembe Salami, there is Akusoka Lingalasiqi, and Ulimi Lwesindebele, which is used from Form 1 to Form 4. So at the end of the day, can you say that over the years, you've actually benefited from some of your works?
Some of them, yes. I don't know why Wang Tembe Salami is so popular with people. I didn't think when I wrote it would be so exciting to the people. but indeed one gets some benefit from some. But of late, the market is not very good at all. That is talking in financial terms. But whereas one wants money, one is not writing primarily for money, but you are writing to communicate with the people. You are writing to put forward certain thoughts. You are developing yourself, broadening yourself as you think out of the ideas that you want to write. So this writing has been of much benefit to myself.
Now, when we talk about money, you know, these money issues are sometimes very complicated. So how often do you get your royalties?
This has become a very complicated affair. It's supposed to be once a year that you get your royalties. But of late, publishers do not pay as well as they used to do. One is not sure what the problem is. You see, another thing is publishers long ago used to give you a schedule of sales and you were able to see how your book was selling. Of late, no. They just send you money. You don't know how they arrived at that and so on and so on. There are problems, perhaps, with publishers.
But can somebody survive on writing books?
It's a yes and no, but certainly not in Zimbabwe in the present environment. Book writing is supposed to be lucrative depending upon what you have written, but the market is so depressed now that you just can't survive on books.
And tell us a little bit, how many of your books are now being used at schools?
My books are getting old now, but three or four of them are in use at school.
Do they give you an update about some of the books, you know, whether they can make some more editions or not?
The feedback from publishers now is not very active, is not very satisfactory, is the word. And readers sometimes do give you a feedback as to the quality and character of your book. But one does not get the feedback that one would expect from the publishers regarding the sale of books, regarding whatever.
And my last question, how many books have you actually written?
I've written seven or so.
That was Isaac Mpofu, a Zimbabwean writer, speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. As usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight we have the pleasure of speaking to the head of delegation of Team Zimbabwe at the 14th Special Olympics World Summer Games, which are being held in Los Angeles in the United States. The games started today and will end on the 2nd of August. We have the pleasure of catching up with the head of delegation, Mrs. Viola Musariri, who herself has her son, Munyarazi, who is also participating in the Special Olympics. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Mrs. Musariri.
Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm great. You are here in the United States for the Special Olympics. Tell us a little bit about that.
We're participating in the Special Olympics World Summer Games, which are going to be officially opened on the 25th. And Special Olympics Zimbabwe brought a delegation of 22. Out of the 22, 15 are athletes that are going to be participating in two disciplines, golf and athletics. We've got 8 athletes participating in golf and 7 athletes will be participating in the track and field events.
You mentioned that most of the young athletes that are here for the games are participating in golf. What kind of training do you actually provide, and is it not challenging seeing as some of the equipment used in golf is very expensive?
It is quite quite exciting for Zimbabwe to note that in Africa, Zimbabwe is one of the two countries that are currently offering golf, that is Zimbabwe and South Africa. Special Olympics Zimbabwe's strength is actually anchored in golf. We have a very exciting golf program that is coordinated by two dedicated professional golfers, Mike Bayliss at Royal Harare and Catherine Riley and Chapman Golf Club. What they've done over the last 10 years is to offer an opportunity to athletes with intellectual disability to be able to train every week at Royal Harare and Chapman Golf Club. It is quite exciting to, every Thursday, to see athletes from different homes, from different schools, coming in at Royal. At any given moment, you'll find over 150 athletes at Royal being trained by these dedicated golfers. It is, for some programs within our region, they find golf to be very expensive to start, and they also find it very challenging to start offering a golf program for people with intellectual disability. But in Zimbabwe, it has worked so well because we've got dedicated professionals that give up their time and bring in other professionals to just give in time and ensure that our athletes are well trained.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. I understand you have a son who's also participating in these Olympics. Tell us about that.
He's a very dedicated golfer. He started playing golf at Prince Edward School. For me to be involved with Special Olympics, it was through my son's involvement in the golf program. Special Olympics Zimbabwe offered the golf program to Prince Edward, and that's how I came to know about Special Olympics in 2010, as well as the golf program that they offer at Special Olympics. Munyaradzi has been playing golf since 2010, and he has participated in so many tournaments locally in Zimbabwe, and also had an opportunity to participate in a tournament in South Africa in 2012 and 2013, where he took gold at both occasions. And then in 2014, he had an opportunity to participate in the Macau Golf Masters of Hong Kong, and also Team Zimbabwe came second. It gave me an opportunity to be able to link up with other parents with children with intellectual disability, and I realized that this was an opportunity for all those children that did not have a chance in class, to offer them an opportunity to change their lives through sport. And I can tell you, this has really been amazing for my son, and also for all the other golfers that I've come into contact with, and all the other athletes really that are participating in other disciplines. And it's awesome just to see them smiling at the end of the day.
What words of encouragement would you have for other mothers out there who may have children with disabilities?
What I've realized, it starts with the parent. You've got to be able to go out there and see what is available for your children. The system currently in place does not quite offer opportunities for people with intellectual disability. But I'm quite happy with our school system in Zimbabwe, because you realize that most schools now offer special classes where children with intellectual disabilities are able to be integrated within the school. But it is through sport that we have realized that once you give them that opportunity to play, it gives them an opportunity to increase their self-esteem. And once their self-esteem is improved, they are more confident to converse. They are more confident to tackle different challenges in life. So it is an appeal to all mothers to go out there and look out for such organizations like Special Olympics, because they make friends. Athletes will make friends. And from then on, they'll be able then to be learn something from their friends and be able to offer something to the greater society.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Mrs. Viola Musariri, the head of Team Zimbabwe at the 14th Special Olympics World Summer Games, currently being run here in the United States in Los Angeles.
Thank you so much. Good day.
Join me again next week. I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. We hope you are going to have a lovely weekend.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
According to human rights organizations and Chinese activists, in recent weeks, Chinese authorities have systematically detained, arrested, subjected to forced disappearance, held incommunicado, or questioned and released 169 lawyers, legal staff, and activists involved in peacefully challenging official policies in China. Chinese authorities detained lawyers from several law firms, including six from the Beijing Fengrai firm. The Fengrai law firm handled a number of high-profile human rights cases, including the case of jailed Uyghur scholar Ilham Tohati. The crackdown began on July 9th when Fengrai lawyer Wang Yu disappeared after alerting friends via a text message that her internet connection and electricity had been cut off and that people were trying to break into her home. Wang had represented several clients involved in human rights activism or religious freedom issues, including practitioners of Falun Gong, a religious group banned in China. The firm's director, Zhu Shifeng, was also detained. He had represented Zhang Miao, a Chinese journalist who'd reported on the Hong Kong democracy protests. Among those who have not been heard from since being detained is well-known lawyer Lu Heping. He represented fellow lawyer and blind activist Chen Guangcheng and helped victims of forced evictions. The United States is deeply concerned that the broad scope of China's new national security law is being used as a legal facade to commit human rights abuses. The U.S. strongly urges China to respect the rights of all its citizens and to release all those who have recently been detained for seeking to protect the rights of Chinese citizens.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And finally, in sports news, Premier Soccer League boss Kennedy Ndebele says soccer fans should not engage in violence. Ndebele tells Studio 7 they will be closely monitoring tomorrow's clash between Islanders and Dynamos.
You need to appreciate that the game of football is a game. It's not a war. Fans must appreciate that it makes players feel intimidated, and they're not sure where the missile is going to come from. So that affects players' performances. So those who are inclined to in thinking that they have benefits in causing violence are actually enemies of football.
We believe that there are few incidents of violence so far in the Premier Soccer League. And how best are you tackling it?
The board has given us the guidelines on dealing with acts of misconduct, violence being part of that. And we've got our disciplinary committee dealing with that. But our concern is the football leaders, the club leaders, don't seem to be taking active roles, really, in terms of communicating the right messages. It cannot be the league or the football association that talks to fans. These fans are affiliated or they are attached to certain clubs. So we feel it is the responsibility of the football leaders to communicate the positive images. I was happy today that one of the coaches clearly stated that them as coaches and football players are friends. It is only the football fans who are just creating this negative atmosphere. You'll see even after the game on Sunday, players will shake hands and they walk to the dressing room. But these fans need to learn from them. But it's not their game. The game is for the players. For them, that's for them to come and watch. If we continue to have these incidents, we might rather have teams playing football without fans watching. I'm sure the players will enjoy that.
Some people are actually blaming referees for all this chaos at times in soccer. What is your reaction to that?
Yes, referees are human beings. They make mistakes. Yes, the referees also go through training. And it must be understood that they follow the laws of the game. At times, yes, they miss it here and there. But it does not then call for fans to take the law into their own hands and want to assault or murder the referee. He's a human being. We watch football on television every week, but we've never seen a situation where fans invade the pitch and throw missiles because of a wrong call by a referee.
That was Premier Soccer League boss Kennedy Ndebele speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Games pitting Highlanders and Dynamos are normally gripped by violence. And now to recap today's top stories. Thousands of workers continue losing jobs in Zimbabwe following a Supreme Court ruling allowing employers to fire them. Renowned Zimbabwean writer Isaac Mpofu says life is tough for writers in the country due to the current harsh economic environment. And the Premier Soccer League says soccer fans should desist from violence. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good weekend.